Let's pray together. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I have a question for you today. It's a curious question. I was thinking about this question as I was reading through this lesson from Ephesians. As Christians, is it more important to consider what we take away out of our lives or what we include? Is it more important to remove something in our life or to add something in? Is it more significant to extract or to insert? You know, when we live in this world, I think, which adds in a lot in our daily lives, bigger the better, the more things we have in our life, the happier it seems we're going to be. But in the last 10 years or so, there's this kind of new movement called decluttering or minimalist that seems to have kind of entered into our thinking, even with the little tiny houses that, people have seen on TV. Less is more. I don't know. I find it really curious. I wonder what is most important in the Christian faith, what we take away or what we add. Excuse me for a sec. I just need to take a little bite of this chocolate bar here. I just had a craving all of a sudden, so I'm just going to... Nice. Do you know the history of chocolate? In North America, it's quite fascinating to me. The first chocolate bar factory in the United States was Hershey, and all of you have probably eaten a Hershey bar times in your life. But during that time, another company came in, Nestle. Now, it's fascinating because Hershey was dark chocolate. Nestle wanted to do something a little bit different, so they created milk chocolate. The competition was fierce, and they began to say, well, how can we become better than the other company? Nestle was the first one to add something to the chocolate. Thus, O. Henry came to be. Babe Ruth, Butterfingers, Hershey, not to be undone, began adding something to their product line. They created the things we know as Hershey Kisses. And then this chocolate bar with almonds. And it goes on and on. And then, of course, other competition came in, Mars Bar. And the whole history behind Mars Bar is based upon a milkshake. The wife of this individual named Mars loved milkshakes and wanted to include that into a chocolate bar. Thus, the Milky Way came to be. Snickers. And, of course, eventually, the Mars Bar itself. Now, you might be asking yourself, why is he talking about chocolate bars? Well, I'm fascinated with this scripture lesson that I think challenged us to both think about what we need to remove from our lives and what we need to add in. And I want you to think about this in terms of sharing the gospel with somebody in your life following this message, because I think we need a little bit of both. So let's dig into this very fascinating chapter in Ephesians. Beginning chapter 2, verse 1. Now, this is tough stuff here. It's really difficult stuff to hear because it talks about the actual human condition, who we are when we don't have Christ in our lives, and even when we do. That's kind of the trick here because it's very difficult to hear these words. Now, Paul is speaking to the Ephesians about having a relationship with God, but the challenge is for them prior to that. So listen to this, because this is who you and I are. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. You're dead in your transgressions and sins. We know the consequence of sin is death. And we know who takes care of death. And we know what separates us from God, which is our sin. This is part of our human condition. We are sinners. That needs to be taken away. Verse 2, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. This is packed full of hard truths. You who followed the world. Do you still follow the world? The ways of the world, the way the world operates? I think we do it sometimes. You follow the ruler of the kingdom of the air. I love that phrase, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now working those who are disobedient. This, my friends, is evil. This is devil. This is difficult stuff. When you follow the devil, you're not following God. When you follow the world, you're not following Jesus. What needs to be taken away? Verse 3, all of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Following the ways of the flesh, not the spirit, the flesh, the cravings of the flesh, of the world, the desires, the thoughts that are not from God. Like the rest, we are by nature deserving of wrath. Boy, I'm glad we don't have to stop there. But I'm glad that we have to start there. Because before we understand our need for God, we won't understand what He is able to give us, what He's able to bring into our lives, what He's able to offer us as a gift. Now, I don't want to just bypass this really quick, this first part of Ephesians, because it's easy for us, I think, as believers especially, to say, well, I get sin. I understand I'm separated from God. You know I need God in my life. I know sometimes I follow the ways of the world. But, you know, sometimes I think we need to be reminded how significant this is so that we can receive fully what is coming down the path, what is going to be given very shortly as we read the rest of Ephesians. So let's just talk about this just for a moment, the importance of understanding our need for God. Because I think sometimes we can make that which is to follow the grace of God really cheap. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer talks about this, and I love his explanation. And I'm going to read it just a little bit here for you now. Of course, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a pastor and a theologian in Germany during the World War II. He says this, cheap grace is the grace we bestow on ourselves. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ, living and incarnate. We can make this gift cheap if we don't come to it with open hearts, with a willingness to give away that which is in the way, to receive all that God has for us. Well, the opposite of cheap grace for Dietrich Bonhoeffer is costly grace. And he says, costly grace is the gospel which must be sought again and again, the gift which must be asked for the door at which a man must knock. Such grace is costly because it calls us to follow. And it is a grace because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. It is costly because it costs a man his own life. And it is grace because it gives a man the only true life. It is costly because it condemns sin, and grace because it justifies the sinner. Above all, this is beautiful, it is costly because it cost God the life of His Son. You were bought at a price. And what has cost God much cannot be cheap for us. Above all, it is the grace because God did not reckon His Son too dearly a price to pay for our life, but delivered Him up for us. Costly grace is the incarnation of God. Wow. You see how important and significant this is to understand what needs to be taken away, to be removed, to be extracted? The beauty is what comes here now, the alive in Christ. And here it is, verse 4. But because of his great love for us, now remember, this follows all that tough stuff. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in the kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, so that no one can boast. This, my friends, is what's included in our life. This is what's added into our lives. But it only comes through Jesus. It only comes through the cross of Christ. It only comes through what Jesus has given to us freely by dying for our sin. This is truly a gift from God that we need to receive daily. What this verse is really saying to us and challenging us is to understand our real need for Jesus. We're lost without him. We're lost without him. We need that bread of heaven to come down into our lives. We need the living water to flow through us, which is Jesus himself. Our salvation is not dependent upon our works. It only comes through Jesus. But we need Jesus to fill our lives each and every day. We need him in our lives. Luther got this, and his whole transformation as a reformer began with, you know, Romans 1, 10 to 17, which talks about, you know, the justification by faith. But this verse in Ephesians does the same thing. We realize what's given to us freely because of God's love for us. And we have to come to him to receive that. Okay, let's go back to a chocolate bar here. Cherry Blossom, my favorite, my mom's favorite chocolate bar. Maybe you know what Cherry Blossom is. Maybe you've had it. But before you had it for the first time, did you know what was in the center? You were told there would be something there, a cherry. But you didn't know unless you took a bite. Well, it's what's inside that really counts. And when we turn our lives over to Jesus, it's what's inside that counts. Because in a relationship with Jesus, it becomes personal. The Holy Spirit indwells in us, in our hearts. We no longer have a heart of stone. We have the heart of Jesus in us. We have the love of Christ within our hearts and lives. And we're changed. We give something away. We take something in, and that's Jesus. And we're changed. It's like the woman at the well, you know, who's changed because of a relationship with Jesus. And she goes back to her community. She's like, I want to tell you about somebody who knows everything about me. It's like Zacchaeus, you know, who met and had an encounter with Jesus and gave away all the riches that he'd stolen from people because something happened in his heart. He was changed. And that too happens when we receive Jesus into our hearts and lives. But let me say, I think it's good and important to receive him every day into our lives. It's good and important to every day confess our sins, acknowledge what we've done, what we haven't done, and to receive fully again the grace of God that's given to us freely. It's about less of me and more of God and the Holy Spirit that now comes into my life to make me full. Now, I could stop right there with this sermon, but there's one more thing here from Ephesians, one more verse that we need to think about, because it's verse 10. It's the conclusion of this particular chapter, where in verse 10, Paul says, after the grace verse, after understanding it is a gift from God, he goes, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Isn't that fascinating? I mean, Salvation doesn't come by works. We know that. You know? And yet there's this challenge for us to think about what Christ will do in and through us for him. Good works prepared for us to do. Now, this is really fascinating because just doing a little bit of research on this, and you know, you're a piece of work, but you're God's work. And Paul, in this particular verse, uses a word, a Greek word, poemia, to describe workmanship, which really translated in English is a poem. So you are a poem. You're an epic poem that God is creating line by line to do his work. And I love that because, you know, that whole image of a poem is it's going somewhere. You know, it has a beginning, it has a middle, and it has an ending. But you can always add to that poem if you want. And I think that's what God is doing. We are created for God to do good works which he has prepared beforehand. And so, as we receive God's grace and love, there's also this call to share what we've experienced with those around us. And we're asking God today, we're thanking him first of all. We're actually coming to him and saying, I need you. I'm separated from you, God. Please fill me fresh again today. And now use me, mold me, make me. Help me to become that poem. Let's co-author this together. And so, friends, let's come back to him today. Let's ask him to take away those things that are getting in the way of us having this relationship with him. Let's receive fresh again his grace and love so that he can continue to write the story that he has for us. Amen. Lord, we thank you. We thank you so much, first of all, for your grace. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We lift high the cross. Keep us near the cross. Keep us focused on your son. Thank you, God, that you have given a way for us to be in a relationship with you by taking away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin, my sin. Thank you, Lord, that you do live in us and you want us to work for you, for your higher kingdom purposes. So, God, fill us fresh with your Holy Spirit again, that we may move out of this place to share the gospel, the message of Jesus. For we pray these things in his name. Amen.